The scripture reading is from Psalm 107, verses 1 to 31. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his work with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We give thanks to you for the week that just passed. And Lord, we ask you that today you may open our hearts and minds as we hear your message, Lord. Please be with us for the coming week and allow us to apply what we learn, Lord, in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Does God really care for sinner like me? People ask. And I've been asked that question before, and I've been asked lately the same question. Do you think really God cares what happens to me? Me, a little guy that is unemployed and has done a lot of bad things. Do you think even if I pray, God is going to ever answer my prayers, listen to me and answer my prayers? In Psalm 107, we see that God not only cares for people who are good or godly, but he cares for everyone, even bad sinners, as people may characterize them. This psalm has several important thoughts I would like to share with you this morning. Psalm 107 does at least three things. First, it talks about the difference it makes when God is present in our lives. The difference that God makes in our daily lives. Excuse me. Second, we see that it tells us what God has done and continues to do for us. And again, this is something that we must never forget, to look back for a moment and see what God has done in our lives. Looking back, I see in my life all kinds of valleys, deep valleys, and when I stumbled and fell. And then I see peaks when God raised me up and gave me the strength to go on spiritually, physically, with my family. So we must never forget to look back, and Psalm 107 deals with that. And thirdly, it tells us how we ought to live and how we can gain wisdom. God is ready to rescue people who are in trouble. In Psalm 107, we notice that some of them are in trouble because of their own sin. Nevertheless, God comes to them when they cry out to Him, and He rescues them over and over again. Now, there is a common pattern in the lives of people who stray, that is, walk away from God. And people sometimes will say, why? Do you mean to say that a Christian can walk away from God, or wander away, or let his guard down? For sure, because if, or else God would not say, watch out, be all the time in prayer, or continue in prayer. They believe in God, Christians. They praise God. They practice a religion. They may even be committed believers, teachers, or even pastors, but they have let their guard down and become vulnerable to sin. But by allowing that little temptation to stay, which eventually leads to sin. Please help me realize this. Help me explain this to someone who says, oh, Christians are hypocrites. Help me sort of point out to someone who has doubts about God and His power in our lives that the whole thing was not just, didn't happen just like that. The great pastor or the great leader or the elder or the teacher who did something terrible probably did not start planning to do that terrible thing when David sinned and committed adultery and then murder. He didn't say, okay, now I have nothing else to do. I'm going to look at my neighbor's wife. I'm going to want her. I'm going to commit adultery. I'm going to try to deal with the consequences, but I'm going to kill her husband so I can have. He didn't think these things. He only thought that she looked pretty. And then that stayed in his mind. When we sin and we find ourselves in trouble, we look back and see that the whole thing started with a little temptation, with something that came in front of us or in our thought, and we enjoyed that thought and we pampered it. Now sin leads them to addiction, and that little temptation leads people to addiction or dependency and slavery. When people stray from the Lord by walking in disobedience to His word, they suffer the bitter consequences of their backsliding. And we have many examples of believers who, after they were caught sinning, or they woke up one morning and said, what am I doing? And they wanted to turn the clock back. They couldn't. It was too late. Look at David. Look at us. Look at you. Look at me. I look at me and look at my mistakes in the past and say, I wish I had not done that. I wish I can remove it from my thought. I wish I can forget about it. But no, the consequences of our past sometimes come and haunt us. But God cares for the backslidden believer as the shepherd cares for the lost sheep. and hears the cry of the lost sheep and rescues it from death. And of course, Jesus gave us the best possible example of God's love when he said there was a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And when he realized that one was missing, he didn't say, "Oh, well, I have 99. What do I care about that one?" The Bible says he left those 99. They were secure where they were. And he ran after that one lost sheep. And if you feel sometimes that you are the lost sheep, and if you feel sometimes you have broken away from the family of believers and now you are wandering, just remember the shepherd and his love for you. It is actually the familiar story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is another example of the love of God, and we all know it. I'm not going to repeat it other than to say that when the prodigal son was away, the father was thinking of him and praying for him and was waiting not in his bed, but actually probably he would wake up early in the morning and go to bed late at night just looking for his son. Where is he? Is he coming back? Please, God, protect him. Like Noah, who was praying for his children. Like Job, who was praying for his children. The father of the prodigal son was praying for his son. And when his son was convicted of his mistakes and his sin, he'd returned. The father was there, ready to take him in his and hug him, and if you wish, restore him in the family. In this psalm, we have four different pictures. First, rescue. We see the God's rescue for those lost in the desert. The psalm writer says that human beings without God's influence in their lives are wanderers. Without God, we wander in what the psalm writer describes as a desert wasteland. There's little nourishment or water there, and perils are all around. I believe that we often experience that feeling in the desert of life. Sometimes you may be in a big family surrounded by your loved ones, or at least the family, and you feel lonely and you feel alone and you feel that you are just like lost in a big, huge desert. I'm sorry. And then you just wonder how you will find some joy and peace. So wandering away from God not only destroys your relationship with God, but makes you feel as if you are in the desert lost. Then the rescue from the punishment of disease due to sin. And again, this psalm writer talks about the disease and the suffering that the people suffered because actually they turned their backs away. And you say, what does sickness have to do with me turning away my back or letting my guard down or not going to church or not praying enough or not reading the Bible enough or whatever? Well, you know, the body and the soul work together. When your soul is down, when your emotions are confused and you have a nervous breakdown, your entire body suffers. And when you have broken God's law and you have turned your back to God and the family is suffering, you go deeper and deeper into depression and the body wastes. The same thing we saw with David once again when he sinned and when he did all the things that he shouldn't have done as a believer. He started suffering. His bones ached. His body wasted away. He lost his joy. He couldn't pray. He couldn't sing. He couldn't write. And he didn't know what to do. He had a nervous breakdown. And I'm sure if there was a psychologist in his palace, he would say, well, have some drink. Get something us to find a hobby. You are wasting away. But no, nothing helped David. Except when Nathan came to him and said, David, you have sinned against God. And unless you confess your sin, you will die in your sins. And you will waste away. And David turned his eyes up to God and asked for forgiveness. And God forgave him and he restored him. Rescue from terrible storms. Now, is there anyone here that has not gone through a storm? The family problems maybe, or losing your job, or maybe disagreement with your parents, disagreement with your loved ones, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your classmate, your co-workers. Something that has stolen that joy, something that has taken away your joy. And now you feel miserable. And you feel as if you are on top of a great huge wave that is about to crush, and with it, your hopes and your life. Psalm 107 teaches that without God's guidance in our lives, we have no reliable spiritual map or compass. Now, can you imagine without the Bible? I believe that the Bible is my compass and my guide. It's not my religious leaders. It's not the books I've read, although they may help. It's not my teacher, and it's not my philosophy, and my map is this. And without this, without God, I'm lost. I'm nowhere else to go. I go to my computer. I may look for messages, and I find 20 messages, 100 messages, very confused. I call someone, very confusing message. I go to one kind of a church and has one kind of a message. I go to another church and different, and I'm lost. I need a compass. I need something to lead me to the real God. And I believe, and the Bible has proved itself to be the only guide, the only powerhouse there is. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Now you may have wrecked your life with drugs, alcohol, gambling, sexual immorality, fraud, or other sins. The Bible is saying that those and any other sins do not disqualify you from God's rescue. The worst possible sin will not disqualify anyone from being rescued. It doesn't matter how that person found himself or herself in that lake drowning. When the rescuers come, they don't ask her, how did you fall in there? What was the reason? Weren't you watching? No, all she wants is to be saved. And the people who are about to save her, all they want to know is how they can save her. Well, that is exactly the picture between man and God. Man is lost. And man has not tried everything. He grabbed a piece of wood. No. He tried to swim. No, it didn't work. He shouted. He did everything. But he could not save himself. And then God reaches down and brings that person up. You don't have to be an unbeliever to be saved from trouble. Even Peter and David and so many other great men needed to be rescued from their difficulties and problems. I need to be rescued from my difficulties. You need to be rescued from your situation daily. If God is not there doing it, then no one else can. When you go to the cross, you see what makes this kind of a mercy possible? It is the blood of Jesus that can wash our sins away, regardless how big or terrible they may be. Does God really care for those who have messed up their lives? Yes, He does. If they cry to God, If they try to Him and repent, God will restore them. God will restore you if you have walked away from God. God will save you if you have never asked for salvation. God is always ready. Why do you think God loves you? Because you are worthy? Because you can help Him? Because you can give Him? No, because He created you. And because He has put a little bit of Himself in you and in me. The Bible says God created man in His own image. And when I create something in my shop and my workplace, and I look at it, I love it, I'll do anything to save it and enjoy it. God, that's how it is with God. God has created us. God is enjoying our company when we communicate with Him. And when our communication is broken, God is sad because His creature, His creation has rejected Him. Of course, there are millions, if not billions, of people who doubt this. But on the other hand, there are those who have accepted His saving hand and are enjoying all the blessings described in the Bible. Does God really care for those who have missed? Does really God care for those who have messed up their lives? God loves you and cares for you. Jesus promised, He said, "Come to Me and I'll give you rest." He will take your burdens away and even anything else that has been preventing you from coming to Him. He will take your burden and take it away. Even if He has to carry it Himself, He will do it because He promised to do it. He also said, if you come to Me, you will find rest for your soul. And I believe the most important thing in my life was and still is peace. And I've shared this with you in the past. I'll share it again. A few years ago, when I was going for open heart surgery, I prayed for health, I prayed for my family, I prayed for everything else, and still I couldn't deal with the pressure, and I was getting anxious, and anxiety was setting in, and one day I prayed to God, and I said, God, all I need from You right now is Your serenity. I need Your peace. And you know what? God answers prayers. You say, why you are so excited? Why are you so excited about God? Because God is a living God. And because God answers prayers and God touches hearts and souls and life, and God brought His peace and His serenity. And my family is my witness how I went through that period of time in a very serene and relaxed way, even though the difficulties were there. God is able to save you from alcoholism, from drug addiction, from gambling, from sexual immorality. Or if none of these exist in your life, God can save you from your depression or loneliness or aloneness, if you wish. Just trust God and ask Him to come and rescue you. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being always ready to come and save us. You are always ready to come and help those who call upon You. And this morning, once again, we come to You and thank You for rescuing us. We thank You, Lord, for blessing us. We thank You, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit who is always with us, strengthening us, but also convicting us for our sins. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and restore us and mend our lives. In Your blessed name I pray, Amen.